Well, good evening, everybody. You guys look just as good at nighttime as you do in the daytime. You guys know the drill. We can't start off tonight without some worship. So why don't you stand to your feet and get your singing ready. I want to see the dancing and the singing and the celebrating. It is a party up in here tonight. All right, here we go. Of Jesus, he's got it under control, so we just celebrate that. Sing this with me. I will rest.
I will rest in promises, my confidence in your faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises, my confidence.
Oh, is your faithful.
Faithfulness, and I will rest in your promises, my confidence.
Song. It reminds me of this scripture from Zephaniah. Some of y'all don't even know that Zephaniah is a book in the Bible, but it is. And Zephaniah 3:17 says this, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing." And I love this picture of the Lord worshiping on our behalf over us. Scripture says that there is basically a party going on 24/7 in heaven, a rejoicing celebration of believers glorifying Jesus. And yet, in the middle of that, we see Jesus coming to meet with us, singing over us. Not because we deserve to be exalted in any kind of way, but that is the love. It quiets our spirit. It party a little us in the midst of a party. And so tonight, we're just going to party a little bit with them and join in what Jesus is already doing over us, which is singing. Amen. We don't have to be what we once were. In fact, we get to be better than we ever could be.
you turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn gray and you turn grace into glory. Turn bones into armies, and you turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn grace, you turn grace into garden, and you turn bones into armies. You turn seas into in walking around these walls. And I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. And waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me yet. Oh, your promises, 'cause your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness.
is my confidence. You never fail me. Yeah. Oh, it's not in your nature. And I know the night won't last, 'cause your word will come to pass, and my heart will sing your praise again. Oh, Lord, love. 'Cause Jesus, you're still enough, so keep me within your love, and my heart will sing your praise again. Your faith, your faithfulness, 'cause your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Church, this year is the time to build the altars. It's time to remember the faithfulness of God and walk it out in your everyday life. It's not only a declaration of what he's going to, but it's a remembrance of what he's already done. So let's walk it out together. Sing this with me. I've seen you move. 'Cause I've seen my confidence, you never and your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me. So God, would we cling to your name tonight, to your word, Lord, knowing that you are faithful. It's just who you are. You don't change the way we change. God, would we rest in you tonight? Would we seek your face, seek your heart in this place? In your precious name, amen. You guys may be seated.
Well, good evening. How y'all doing?
All right. Good to see you tonight. You look good tonight, just like Brianna said. So,
man, it's cool to see, because I think the first Sunday we met, we had about this many people in this room. So it's cool to see just that reminder of God's faithfulness that, you know, from when we were meeting in Miss Dorley's single wide trailer with about 20 of us, to see just, you know, 3 years down the road, God's faithfulness that he has grown it. He has saved people. He has grown people. And we're just going to continue to trust in his faithfulness. I do thank you for giving of your time tonight. I was telling our small group leaders earlier when we were meeting, I'm not a fan of meetings. So if we have a chance to do them all like in one day, I would rather do that than spread them out over a couple weeks and have to find, you know, and work around that. So if you wondered why we crammed it all in one day, that's why. I don't like to have meetings. But they're a necessary evil in my book. So what we're going to do to start off this evening, most of you know Tracy and Melissa, and you know they had a little health scare with their daughter Mackenzie a couple months ago. And Melissa texted me and said she felt led, like she wanted to share her testimony on that. She felt like the Lord was telling her to do that. So in just a moment, we're going to hear from them about how God worked in all of that. And I'm going to open us up in prayer. And then after I've opened us in prayer, we're going to hear from Tracy and Melissa. And then we're going to get into some of the vision for 2023 and what that's going to be all about. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to ask Tracy and Melissa to make their way up here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this group of people. God, I thank you for their obedience, their willingness to be here tonight, Lord. And just pray that your Holy Spirit would be in this place. You would lead us, you would guide us, you would just help us to fully grasp your vision for what you've called us to do, God. You would give us the courage to run after it. God, that you would give us the strength, the abilities, the resources to go where you've called us to go, God, and then we would have the faith to do so, that we would trust you enough to follow you, even when we're not sure how it's going to work out, Father God. And as Tracy and Melissa come up, I pray for them. I pray that you would speak through them. God, we praise you for this family, and we just pray that you would calm any nerves at this moment, Father God, and we just pray that you would just speak to us through them in this moment, and we just praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Tracy and Melissa, y'all come out from behind the curtain.
I speak the name of Jesus over you. In your hurting, in your sorrow, I will ask my God to move. I speak the name 'cause it's all that I can do. In desperation, I'll seek heaven and pray this for you. I pray for your healing. Circumstances would change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name. I pray that a breakthrough would happen today. I pray miracles over your life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
pray for your healing, that circumstances will change. I pray that the fear inside would flee in Jesus' name.
Good evening. As Jared said, I'm Melissa. This is my husband, Tracy. This is Mackenzie. So in November of this year, we had one of the scariest things happen to our family. We've been through a lot as a family, and this was very challenging for us. A lot of times we ask people to pray for us. We're asked to pray for people, and we never see the outcome of that. And we pray trusting and knowing that God's going to move. And I felt very led to let you guys know the outcome of your prayers, because I know that everybody in here was praying for us. So on November 11th, we took Mackenzie to the ER. This was our second trip to the ER. She has severe abdominal pain, and I'm a nurse, and he's a nurse, so it's going to have some medical terms, and we're going to talk about diarrhea. So sorry. But she had severe abdominal pain and persistent diarrhea. She was sitting on the potty screaming, "I'm dying." Well, I'm a hospice nurse, and anytime somebody says, "I'm dying," they usually know that. Okay, so I panicked inside. So this was her second trip to the ER in 24 hours, and she was admitted for observation for her pain control.
It took about 48 hours of us being in observation, and they still didn't really have an answer. They're still waiting for a couple of labs to come back. They thought it was salmonella. They thought it was her appendicitis. So we were just getting IV fluids and Tylenol and ibuprofen for pain. They did start us on a Levisin, which, you know, is for cramps. And they finally came probably around lunchtime saying that she has a rare strain of E. coli. They moved us that night to the medical floor. And that's where, you know, basically all your general patients are that are expected to recover. Well, as soon as we got up there, the doctors came back and said, no, she has to go up to ICU.
So during this time, anytime Mackenzie had these severe bouts of pain, she would ask us to pray for her, to pray with her. So we said many, many prayers sitting on the potty. She wanted to listen to that Lectio 365 app. It's like a meditation prayer app. It's very calming, and worship music. And she, at 6 years old, was seeking God for comfort in that moment. So we were moved to the ICU because her platelet count was severely low, and she finally got some morphine for pain when she got to the ICU. Up until this time, she had been in severe pain that was not controlled over days. In that moment, when we got to ICU, I, as a mom, was feeling very defeated. I did my Google research, and, you know, you shouldn't do that. And I was looking at the worst outcome of this diagnosis and what could become to her. And so shortly after all of my Google research, I received a call from Heidi. And Heidi and I talked for a few minutes, and I told her, you know, I'm struggling having faith in this moment. And she prayed for me. And I wrote down, she said during her prayer that she is standing in faith believing for me because I didn't have faith in that moment. And that was a powerful moment for me to know that I had somebody standing in believing for me when I was having my own doubts.
Whenever the ICU physician came in, they told us that Sacred Heart Children's Hospital wasn't capable of managing what she had. If her kidneys failed, she would need a dialysis, and they just did not have the support for that. And we'd have to go to another hospital like Shands. And They told us that we're going to fly out, probably within the next couple hours. Those couple hours came by, and they said, never mind, we have bad weather, and they won't fly out. And then they started talking about ambulance. So after another couple hours, they decided they were going to send us to Birmingham because Shands was full. They were just going to prepare for the worst and get us out just in case of our kidneys fell.
So we took an ambulance to Birmingham. I rode in the back of that ambulance with Mackenzie. She was a trooper. She was such a trooper, y'all. She played on my phone. She took a short nap. We stopped at the gas station, and, you know, she had an IV in her arm. She's in her PJs, and I think the paramedics thought I was going to kidnap her because they followed me to the potty to take her. And so then we got to Birmingham, and she had an incredible team of doctors that showed up within 15 minutes of us being there at the hospital. And they are much more familiar in that hospital with the diagnosis that she had than here. She will be. And so in that first hour of being there, we were told she will get much worse before she gets better. And as a mom, I thought, much worse? Like, this has been so, so hard to watch. She was developing something called hemolytic uremic syndrome. And that can come from this specific strain of E. coli. It affects your kidneys. It can affect your brain. It makes you irritable. It decreases blood levels significantly. And she had super intense pain. At one point, she was vomiting and still had diarrhea. She would not eat. And anything she drank, she was just vomiting back up. So then the words, you know, blockage and perforation came up. And we needed to check for that to make sure that wasn't going on. I was laying in bed holding Mackenzie. She was napping, and I was just praying, and I was just seeking God in that moment to heal my baby. And most of the time in her room, we had worship music on. That, like I said, brought her a lot of comfort, brought us comfort, so it was constantly playing. And during this specific moment, the song Yes, He Can by Kane came on. And I knew that that was God speaking to me through that song, that she was going to be okay.
She was still not able to eat anything for a while, so they were able to start TPN, which is IV nutrition. She had lab work twice a day and continued pain. That hospital did not want to give morphine because morphine's processed with your kidneys. Same thing with ibuprofen, so that was off the table too. Levsin and Tylenol is about all she can get, and sometimes we had trouble even getting that because she wouldn't take it. She does not like hospital Tylenol. It's gross. she began saying, I'm dying, and a lot of times for pain, all we had was a heating pad to comfort her.
That heating pad was her best friend, you guys. She wanted it constantly when we were there. So the time that she had the most intense pain, the nurses were having a hard time getting the flavor of Tylenol that she would take because she honestly wouldn't take anything else. So I was laying in bed next to her, and Dad was laying at her feet, and we started singing the song In Jesus' Name. And through the pain, Mackenzie started humming and singing that song with us. And in that moment, I mean, that's truly all we could do was speak the name of Jesus over her and hope and pray that she was going to get out of pain soon and she was going to be healed.
I got her. So we were in the hospital for 11 days. It was probably the ninth day whenever the doctors came in and was happy with her kidney numbers. Up until the ninth day that we're in there, that's all they said every day was she's going to get a lot worse and a lot worse. Luckily, it didn't get worse, and I knew that whenever God showed up, IVs getting worse like the doctors thought she would. Five IVs, each time it was traumatizing to her, and she had several sticks for blood. She got 3 units of blood from everything that she was losing. And, yeah.
So Trey and I had just attended a marriage retreat 2 weeks before this happened. I know that God had aligned that together to strengthen us because he knew what we would face in the upcoming weeks. I've had people reach out to me and tell me that my faith was incredible during this journey. It wasn't. I had my moments of doubt. I had moments where I stood in the shower and I just cried because I didn't have the words to say to God, or all I could say was, I know you work everything to the good of those that love you, and I know your will be done, but please, God, don't take my baby girl from me. Please let her healing be here on earth. It was incredible to watch this little girl have such faith in God through those moments. Our children's ministry teaches our kids, and it truly is sticking with them. They believe. We watched Mackenzie sing and praise God through this, and at 6 years old, I can only imagine the trauma that she has felt. And so we wanted to share this with you guys. We wanted to share that she is healthy. That she is thriving. She is back to school. She's back to dance. And, you know, she's back to herself. And we had an incredible team. And we had an incredible team here at home. And we just wanted to say thank you, guys.
Amen, amen. Man, it's just cool to watch Tracy and Melissa as they've grown the last 3 years. 3 years ago, they would have never stood up here, so amongst other things. So that's awesome. I can't talk about that too much or I'll cry, so we're gonna save that for later. All right, so we'll get into the salt portion of our meeting tonight, the vision casting. We're gonna keep it at 20 minutes because I don't want to keep y'all here all night. So, and you don't want to stay here all night. So this time last year, we set out a 5-year kind of vision plan of what we felt God was calling us to do as a church. And so tonight we're gonna kind of assess where we're at in that, and we're gonna look at how we're gonna continue to move forward in that vision for 2023. And we also established that we wanna reassess that every 90 to 120 days, because it's kinda like that snowball effect. We wanna, you know, if you never reassess, you're like, are we moving closer to the vision or not? So we wanna make sure that we have these tangible things we can hold on to say, yeah, we're moving closer, and then fix things as we need to fix them. So that's what we're gonna do tonight. I know we have a lot of new faces, which is fantastic. So just kind of recap what we laid out this time. Our community is our mission, our vision is we want to saturate our communities with disciples of Jesus. We want to do that, and we want to constantly replicate disciples of Christ. And so that includes all facets of the Christian walk, and we'll talk about that a little more later. But that means that every time we gather, whether it's like this, whether it's on Sundays, whether it's on Wednesday nights or in small groups or D groups, the reason behind that gathering is we are creating disciples of Christ for the purpose of sending them out so they can go out and make more disciples. And I'm all about keeping things simple, and it's no more complicated than that. We gather for the purpose of sending out to make more disciples, to fulfill the Great Commission where Jesus says, go and make disciples. And that's been the mission from day one. And so we've set forth some things that we think is going to help us to accomplish that mission. And we're going to talk about those tonight. But before we go there, because I know there's a lot of anticipation, and that's the real reason most of you are here tonight, we're gonna address the name change. So because I have had some interesting conversations this week, I want to clarify that there is no ill will between us and Living Truth Pace. Yes, Norman Sullivan, the pastor there, is okay with this. He knows about it. We've chatted. And if you ask Norman, he will tell you they've basically been doing their own thing since day one, all right? And funding from Living Truth Pace stopped about 4 or 5 months ago. So in all regards, we're already operating fully autonomously. And so you guys voted the last SALT meeting that as we move into giving our own 501c3 and all that fun stuff, that we wanted to change the name, to have our own identity, which is a great, this is a thing we should be celebrating, that 3 years in, we're still standing. We didn't fall on our face, that God was faithful, and he's still moving this thing forward. So, just because I had some weird conversations this week, I just wanted to be very, very clear on that, that there is no ill will. We are still going to do some stuff together. We are still friends. We're not, you know, there's no disagreements there, anything like that. Okay, so if you hear anybody speaking otherwise, you be sure to correct them, all right? While we may do a few things differently, we still overall share the same kind of our similar ideologies, philosophies when it comes to ministry. We still share and hold to the same theological convictions. But God's called us to do a little bit different things to a different group of people. So we are, at this point, financially sustainable, which is a fantastic thing. Something we should celebrate, and we are growing. We are exceeding our expectations we laid it out when we planned. We didn't think we would get to this point to year 5, and so we're 2 years ahead of schedule. Now don't get prideful over that, okay? So we never want to get to the fat and happy stage. So with that, gave you guys the opportunity to submit some names over the last couple weeks anonymously. Some of you guys chose to put your name on it. That's okay. Some of you, we may need to have a conversation. But altogether, we probably had about 10, 11 names submitted. And I would say 95% of them are already in use in our community within a 20-mile radius. And so that ultimately knocked out most of them. Sorry, guys. Cornerstone is a very popular church. Sorry, if you're in the room, it's just very popular. So as we were going through that and the staff were looking at names and we were just talking about what we would want in a name, we wanted something that would encompass the mission of the church, what we're all about, and something that people would know right off the bat what it is our vision is as a church. And so with that, the name that we decided upon was Replicate Church. The creative collective is still working on the color scheme, but that is the logo, okay? So the plan is to have everything rolled out by Easter. We're still working on the 501c3 paperwork, the SunBiz paperwork. We have to transfer all our finances from Pace over into our name. There's just a lot to do. So the plan is to have all new signage and update the website and social media and all that stuff by Easter. If you need any more details other than that, if I didn't cover what you wanted to know, you can just ask me later. But that is the new name of the church. We probably will not start calling ourselves that until Easter or a few weeks before Easter. But that's what we landed on. I did have somebody say that was a hard name to live up to. That was a lot of pressure. I don't agree with that. I just think that holds us accountable as a church, that we are to replicate disciples of Christ. So I am totally fine with that, and I think it's... I think it's a solid name. I think it was a good job. So, all right. Now, if you were planned on leaving, you can leave, and we're going to get to I knew there would be one. I knew there'd be one. All right. So that part's out of the way. So for 2023, there's really two big things we're going to focus on, and we already talked about it a little bit in our small group meeting back here. But the first is we want to put an emphasis on community engagement more than we have before in 2023. We want to engage as corporately. We want to focus on engaging East Milton because that's where I feel like corporately he's called this church to minister to. But I realize and recognize, you know, only about 40 or 50% of us actually live in East Milton. So I don't want us to limit it, but if we're going to do something corporately as a church, it's going to be in East Milton. But many of you have small groups and you live in neighborhoods, so I don't want to deter you from doing those community engagements where you're at. That's what you're called to do, but we do want to put an emphasis on community engagement in 2023. And so here are some things we're looking at in 2023. And understand this, we want to engage the community to build relationships so that we earn the right to share the gospel. Because we live in the gospel belt south. Everybody here just about knows just a little bit about the gospel to make you think they're saved, right? They already wary of you if you come to them with your Bible and all that stuff. So we got to earn that trust. We got to earn that right to share the gospel. And so that's why we're going to engage the community. We want to try and find needs that are not being met and share the love of Christ by meeting those needs. So just a couple of things. And if you were in the small group meeting, sorry, I know we already talked about this. Just you got to hear it again. So we want to continue to support those organizations that we've already partnered with, like East Milton Elementary School, the Emerald Coast Sports Association, and if you guys want to, Keith gave me these lovely plaques with our name on it today to show we've been a sponsor of theirs for the last 3 years to show all the kids that we've helped sponsor. So if you want to look at those later, you can. And just to keep this in house, because I trust you guys. Keith and I, he runs the Emerald Coast Sports Association, have had a lot of gospel conversations the last 3 years. And he told me the other day he wants to follow through with the believer's baptism here. So just pray that the devil does not get a hold of him and he changes his mind, because he has not given me a date yet, but he did say he wanted to get baptized. So that is phenomenal. Yeah. I mean, and those are the kind of things we're going after. It took 3 years of building a relationship to finally, you know, get to that place. But that's why we build these relationships with the community. But we want to be looking for those needs, want to meet those needs, want to build those relationships, have those gospel conversations. So we want to continue those partnerships with EME and the Emerald Coast Sports Association. In March, we're going to partner with the Baghdad Fire Department. I know that's a little bit out of East Milton, but we do have quite a few people that come that live in that area and visit from that area. But we're going to partner with them to see if we can replicate what they're doing for the East Milton Fire Department. They're doing a fundraiser to support the fire department there. One of our regular tenders is a firefighter there. And so we're going to put a booth there, and we're just going to see how it goes. And if we think it's something that we could help replicate, we're going to approach our fire department and say, hey, we want to do this for you. So that's what we're looking at end of March-ish, I think, is the date on that. But then one of the things we talked about in our small group meeting, and our small group did this last year, we made just little goodie bags for Mother's Day. I mean, we probably $10 a bag, something like that. And then the day before Mother's Day, we had several people come out to East Milton, go to all the gas stations and the Dollar General and the Family Dollar, and just if there was a mom working or just a female working, they just handed out those gifts. And if they said, hey, I'm not a mom, they said, well, give it to your mom or your grandmother, whoever a mother is in your life. And there was just so many great conversations that started after that, so many tears that were shed. Nobody came to church, but it was building that trust with the community. So what we like to do this year is do that corporately, because that's just very simple. It's not very expensive, and it gets us some engagement with the city. The other thing we're looking at is for next Christmas, is doing a very similar thing. If we can get enough people to agree to come meet for like an hour on Christmas Day and just go pass out gifts to people that have to work on Christmas Day, moms, dads, all those that are forced to work, like at the, you know, Waffle House is always open, right? You know, I was in there this week meeting somebody, and there's 10 ladies in there, and I bet they were all 10 working Christmas Day. All right, so we want to do things like that. And so if you have ideas, man, we're always open to them. I'm always willing to partner with somebody that's already doing something so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. Like, our youth, they partnered with Keith here at the Sports Association for Halloween, for their trunk or treat. And where's Brandon? I know Brandon was there. You hear Brandon? Brandon? How many people do you think came to that? 300. And none of them look like the people in this room, right? Yep. Okay. All right. Yeah, so we want to go where the lost people are at, not where the church people are at, right? If we were to do our own trunk or treat, it's probably going to be a lot of church people. We want to go where the lost people are at. So we want to partner with people that are already doing something. Keith, he gets a crowd, and I would say 90% don't go to church or not plugged into a church and don't know the Lord. So we want to be around those people. Working with Miss Brooke, who does our kids ministry, you know, I'm not a VBS guy. Sorry, if you're a VBS person, I'm not a VBS guy. There's a million churches that do VBSs, and it's church kids, right? I know people get saved. I'm not saying they don't. But when you're a church plant, you can't compete with the budget of a big, giant church, right? And then when the church down the street, you're just cycling kids from VBS to VBS to VBS. So what we want to do is a two-day kids camp and advertise it to kids that don't normally go to church. You know, because you see kids camp, your church moms aren't going to think, oh, that's a safe place for me to take my kid and learn about the Bible for the week. But you're going to pique the interest of the woman and the family just looking to get their kid out of the house. You know, because they're tired, it's the end of summer, they're like, I can't wait for school to go back, 2 days of no kid, I'm going to send them there, I don't care if it's at a church. And we're going to have fun, and we're going to share the gospel, and we're going to have conversations with people, but we're going to need volunteers to do those things. And I realize you guys have jobs and lives, and so I don't feel comfortable asking you to do a full week-long VBS and take off work, but I feel like we could give up Friday night and a Saturday morning, right? It's doable. All right. So that's going to be on the radar. And Gordon, I am praying that we get that pirate ship float. Gordon, if y'all don't know, man, Gordon's got a lead on like a 40-foot pirate ship float. That would be great for that day. So y'all be praying for that. And we'd be great for the Christmas parade. We'd be we'd win the float contest that year. So those are the things we're looking to do in community engagement-wise next year. And again, if I was talking to the small group leaders, if you guys have ideas, if it's just something your group wants to go do, go and do it. Let us know that you do it, and as we can celebrate it, but just go and do it. The other thing was I met with our new county commissioner, Carrie Smith, a couple weeks ago. Carrie is a believer. He's very passionate about East Milton. He's very passionate about seeing East Milton thrive and just grow in a healthy way and in infrastructure and all those things. But, you know, I know Gordon and I have talked about doing trash pickup in East Milton. And when I mentioned that to Carrie, his eyes got really big. Because he said, you know, when I go to these county commissioner meetings, and for the before he was a commissioner, he's like, when I mentioned East Milton, everybody's attitude was like, oh, that's just East Milton. They don't matter, right? And so I know over time, people that live out here kind of have that same mindset. Because you and I, if you've grown up here, you've said that too at some point in your life. That's East Milton. It doesn't really matter, right? That's East Milton. Melissa, you're from here. I know. So we were just talking about how corporately, and we're probably going to do this sometime before the end of the Nehemiah series, we're going to get together on a Saturday and just go pick up trash in East Milton. Maybe get enough time to make some shirts so people know who it is. But we were just talking about, you know, how much of an impact would that be if they saw a church out in American Farms picking up trash? Who goes to American Farms and picks up trash? We do? All right, so those are the things we're looking at, and we're building that relationship with Mr. Smith, Commissioner Smith. He's a great guy. He's really trying to help Keith update this facility and put some money into this place. So we want to foster that relationship and build that with him. So when needs do arise, he knows that we're the church to come to meet those needs. Right. So those are the things as far as community engagement. Not a lot has changed, but we just want to put more emphasis on that in 2023. The second thing that we want to put emphasis on in 2023 is our small groups. And before we get into that, I feel like I need to clarify the difference between a small group and a D group. I feel like there's been some confusion because, you know, we have been operating as two campuses for a little bit, and we do D groups just a little bit different than Pace does D groups. And so I just want to clarify, you know, what that is versus a small group. So a D group, and we have some, Sean and I have put together some guidelines for the future, but a D group is a tool. It doesn't substitute a small group. It doesn't substitute serving in the church. It doesn't substitute the church. It is a tool to grow you as a disciple, to teach you how to disciple others, and to teach you how to share the gospel. All right? It's to teach you the disciplines you need to grow as a disciple, and that, so you're able to replicate yourself, all right? That's what it is. And the small groups, in all reality, should be a funnel to the D groups. The D groups are for the people that, you know, I was telling our servant leaders yesterday, like, I'm not going to run after you for a D group. You're going to have to run to me and say you want it because it's that big of a deal. It's that big of a commitment. It's something that you're going to have to want for yourself to want to grow to that deep of a level with the Lord and be able to take on the responsibility of making disciples and replicating yourself. And so I just want to make that clarification that that's what a D group is. It's a tool. Now, I do understand this because I am a parent of small children. I do understand the need, and if you're in that season, if you say, hey, I need to put small group on a hold for a season because God is calling me to do this D group, totally get it. But what we don't need to do is say, I'm abandoning small group forever, discipleship, and I'm going to do D group forever. Because discipleship does happen in our small groups. Discipleship, in a lot of ways, is the pathway into a D group. Discipleship is a place, it's a safe place for unbelievers to come and be discipled and hear the gospel. It's where you learn how to have that biblical community, that biblical fellowship, and learn how to love one another. That's where you get cared for. That's where you get loved on. That's where needs are met in there. That's where you build relationships. You do life together long term. And it's really still the lifeblood of this church. So we're going to do a big emphasis in 2023 of small groups. I feel like we've kind of slacked on that last year. And so the next two Sundays, we're going to have all our small group leaders in here, and they're going to be doing small group signups. They're going to be trying to get people in those groups. And some things that we've changed a little bit is we've put a cap on groups to 10 people. You might get away with 12, but no more than 12. Anything over that, you're having a small church in your house. And you know, you quiet people don't want to talk if there's more than six. And then if there's 15, you have the one extrovert that just wants to take over the whole conversation, right? And so we want to limit that. We are launching two new small groups, which is fantastic. We're all launching a young adult small group for 18 to 26-year-old. He couldn't be here tonight, but Zach McCormick and his wife Shannon and their four kids joined the church about 2 months ago. Zach was fulfilling a previous commitment at another church, but they should be here next week. And Zach has said that's a calling that God has put on him. He's also going to start playing bass up here, hopefully. But they're all in, and he's going to take that on. They're probably going to meet in their home. We have some youth that are getting ready to graduate, so we want to have a place for them to go. We have some people that are in that age range that really need to quit hanging out with married people like me and Tammy and being with people their own age and people that have lived a little bit. So y'all be in prayer for Zach, and hopefully y'all get to meet him next week. So I know some of you have, but I think God's going to do some awesome stuff through that. We're going to be launching new D groups in about February. The ones that are currently going will be graduating. So if you are interested, or if you have something in your small group you think is really good for a D group, you let me or Tammy know, or Sean. We're kind of the facilitators for that for the time being. We'll do a launch in February and then maybe one later in August, depending on the desire for a D group and the need there. And so the small groups will, again, be doing sermon-based studies. They are allowed to do other things as long as they get it approved by Sean or myself, so there's not doing anything crazy, because we've had some really weird experiences over the years when people are left to do things by themselves. I'm trying to see. So we got some other little things that we're going to talk about, but one of the exciting things that's happening is we hopefully sometime in 2023 are going to be launching a marriage ministry with Ben and Heidi Hebert, which many of you are familiar with the Married for Life date night at Pace. You've been in that. You've done that. That's great. This is going to be a little bit different. This is going to be like marriage together. Bullshit. It's going to be like a marriage D group, small group, all meshed together to try and equip us to understand what the scripture says about being married. Right, so you guys being in prayer for them as they prepare for that, I think God's going to really use that too. I think it's needed because I remember Tammy and I have been married for going on 15 years now, and nobody ever really sat us down and said, hey, this is what the Bible says about marriage. We've hacked away at it, but we would have really benefited from a class like that when we first got married. Couple other things that I just want to let you know, update on some things. Our CR team has been meeting faithfully for about the last 8 months, doing their training, putting in a lot of work, a lot of hours, and hopefully March, April-ish, we'll be able to launch. Do be in prayer, because we have a partnership with Ferris Hill Baptist Church. They were going to host it. Their pastor just took a job in another state. So right now the deacons are still on board there. They could get a pastor in that says, I don't want to play well with others. So just be in prayer for that. If that's not the place God would have us, that he would provide a place for that ministry to thrive in. As of right now, the only mission trip we have on the books for the summer, unless somebody comes to me and say, I feel like God's calling me to lead a group to this place, is Tammy and I are going to be taking a group to North Carolina to Johnny and Friends, which is a special needs camp that we've gone to forever, and we've taken groups there before from the other campus. So you'll be seeing more about that in the weeks to come. But that's the only one we have on the books right now. But like I said, if you come to me and say, man, God's really burdened my heart for this, I want to lead a team here, we can at least talk about it. All right? I think that's everything that I wanted to update you guys on. I don't know. I got one more. Where's Sean? Sean. So starting this summer, we are going to start an internship program for potential ministry leaders, people that maybe feel called into to full-time vocational ministry, and Sean is going to be our guinea pig. I think we're going to pay him like $100 a month, and he's going to do all the stuff I don't want to do. He's going to help us develop that program and for people that do feel called to ministry, whether they go to this church or they don't go to this church, and they need to get their feet wet and see, is this really what God's called me to do? So you'll probably see Sean preach a little more in 2023. He'll be involved in a lot more administrative things than he already is, and you just probably see a lot more of him. But that's something we're excited about, because we do want to be a church that is replicating not only disciples, but we want to replicate ourselves. We want to plant more churches. And so ideally what that would look like is, not saying Sean's going to go plant a church, but that would be ideal to roll people out to plant churches in the future. But that is coming in the summer. And that is the last thing I want to share with you guys. We have not made any headway with a building. I know that's everybody's favorite question. Unless you got bags full of money, I was told not to build. So we have about $200,000 in a building fund. And we have about $100,000 sitting in a general fund. And so we're able to do ministry through that. And so God has blessed us with the resources to do all the things he's called us to do, I think. And so I think we don't need to hesitate. We just need to say, Lord, give me success like Nehemiah did. So I know typically in SALT meetings, we have like some Q&A and we talk through some things. We're not going to do that tonight. We're gonna spend the next few moments in prayer. So I'm going to ask Gordon. Gordon's going to be the first one that's going to lead us in some corporate prayer tonight. But this vision is great. But unless we're fueling it with prayer, it's not going to happen, because I can't do it, you can't do it, and if we try to do it, we're going to fail miserably. And so we want to make sure that everything God has called us to do, that we are covering it in prayer, we are seeking him every moment of every day, saying, God, lead our steps. And so what I also want to encourage us to do is, I was reading something the other day that said, in our generation, Scripture says that we should pray without ceasing, right? Well, it used to be you could sit at a doctor's office or in your car or wherever in those tiny moments, and maybe you would spend some time praying, but now we're so consumed with our phone and Instagram and Facebook that we've killed the tiny moments that we used to spend with the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you, even after tonight, that maybe in those tiny moments you would set the phone down and just pray for whatever you got going on. Pray for the mission of the church. Pray for your family. Pray for your marriage. Pray for somebody else, and regain those little tiny moments for the Lord. And just see if he doesn't start to work a little bit in your life. And so I'm going to ask Gordon to come up now. And Gordon's going to lead us in a...
Thanks. Hey, everybody. When he asked me to pray, I always get nervous in front of everybody. But I love reading what Paul wrote. And I wanted to read one of his prayers. And it's Romans 15:5-6. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, I'll just follow with Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we have together tonight, for Jared and Tammy, and for what they bring to this community and what they bring to this church, and the leadership they provide. Lord, just we ask for you to continue blessing us, and as Jared said this morning, breaking our hearts for what breaks your heart, to give us the mission that you have for us and to help us follow through with it. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Gordon. It's so important as a church we remain united if we're going to do what God's called us to do. We don't need to give the devil an opportunity to have a foothold, and prayer helps us cover those gaps. It helps us stay united. It helps us in overcoming our disagreements with one another. I tell people in membership, if you can agree with me on about 70 or 80% of the things, if we can agree on gospel issues and not worry about the non-gospel issues, we can get stuff done for the kingdom, right? So we need to make sure that we are united as a body of Christ, because a lot of times what keeps a church from fulfilling their vision is they just can't get along. We want to be a church that gets along. We don't want to be a church that does stupid stuff, right? And so with that, Sean is going to come. He's going to lead us in a prayer for God to just equip the church, to lead the church, to fulfill this vision, to remain united, to do what he's called us to do, to get over ourselves and get over our pride and just remain humble and do what he's called us to do. So here you go, sir.
Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, and we're just reflecting once again on the words we heard this morning and the reminder that it's only in prayer, encountering your presence in your word, that our hearts will start to break for the things that break your heart. And Lord, we ask that when we think about vision, that our eyes would be open to see you, that we would be reminded of the joy that we have knowing that your son Jesus completed the work and that he's seated at your right hand, and that in any circumstance we can have comfort in that fact and look forward to that moment when we meet you face to face. We ask now that throughout our week, just what we encounter in our own minds and hearts, that you would help us not to be focused on our circumstances, that we would not be drawn away from your heart for us or for the world around us by any of the things that entice us in the world, but that you would continue to replace the desires of our heart.
You know, I said this morning that we're going to spend 21 days fasting and praying, and a lot of it's going to revolve around the vision and of the church, but I want to make sure you guys grab one of these before you leave tonight. I intentionally did not say a lot this morning about it because I knew that the people that were probably really going to pray through this were the people that showed up to spend the days praying for that. If you miss a day, don't let that stop you. Keep going with it. What do you want to fast? You decide. You pray for the next 2 days and let God show you what he wants you to fast from, food, technology, whatever it might be. But I really think if we take this seriously, if we pray and fast through this, and we add that challenge in there for God to just burden our hearts what burdened his, and to love what he loves and to hate what he hates, and to for our hearts to break for what breaks his, like, I think we're going to see God do some amazing things. So with that being said, I want to have Ben and Heidi come up. And they're just going to pray for the opportunities to engage our city with the gospel, to make disciples, to really fulfill the vision that God's given this church. They're gonna start that prayer for us. And that my prayer is that for 21 days, you guys would continue it, and that we would just see God just move mountains.
Hello? Father God, I just come to you tonight. I'm so thankful for salvation that you've given us through your death on the cross. Lord God, I want to thank you for pursuing all these individuals in this church and in this community, that you still pursue us even though we are yet sinners, and we continue to on daily sin against you or sin against ourselves. And I thank you for that. I thank you for being there for us. I thank you for loving us even though we're broken, we're messy, we're disobedient, we're uncontrolling, we're needy, all these other different things that whatever adjective you want to use for what we are. I just thank you for still loving us and coming after us. And Lord, I want to thank you so much for putting it on Jared's heart to step into this place and to put us here in East Milton. For whatever reason that you may have, for our reasons that we have now, and whatever reasons may come up in the future, but that we are here for this community, and we can continue to just shine and be a light. Lord, I thank you. We love you, and I'm going to pass it to Heidi.
Father, like Ben said, you had a reason for this church here, God. In your sovereignty, you brought us to East Milton. And there are so many people in this area, surrounding area, that don't know you, Lord. So you have placed us here for such a time as this. And you commanded us to go. And I pray for a willingness to go, to be obedient to the call you've commanded every believer. Lord, please give us opportunities to share the gospel. Help us to have ears that hear and eyes that see through your lenses, so we're aware of the people you bring to us. Let us not be so busy and so self-consumed that we miss these divine appointments. Father, give this church a deep heartbreaking love for the gospel and a boldness to go out and share it. Let us be unashamed of our love for Jesus. Father, grow in us a desire to know you through your word and through prayer. Grow us into the image of you so that when we meet people, they want to know what it is that we have. Let us be a church that serves and loves like Jesus. Let us be a light in East Milton. Father God, help us as a church that lives out the Great Commission, not just to go, but to invest in people to make disciples. Help us to grow lifelong lovers and learners of your loves them well. I pray for meaningful, vulnerable, honest bonds to be built among us. Father God, we trust your promises and that your faithfulness in this. Thank you for including us in your big redemption story. We love you, and it is Jesus' holy name we pray.
Thank you, guys. Hey, if you guys could just hang out here for a minute. I'm going to ask my wife to come up here, too. So for this, the final part of our prayer, and then we're going to lead in some worship. We just want to spend some time just praying for marriages, for brokenness, for lostness, for just junk that we're dealing with. So for the next couple of minutes as they pray, I'm just going to ask you guys just to pray silently, but to spend some time just listening for God's voice. Just listening to how he might speak to you. And in that moment, if you need to come and pray with somebody, I want you to just come and pray and have somebody pray for you. And if we need to get more people up here, we can do that. But we're just going to spend a couple minutes just spending time in the presence of the Lord, just dwelling with him. And then I'll close us out in that prayer, and they're going to lead us in a couple songs. But I just want us to spend these few moments in the stillness, in the quiet, listening to the music, tuning out the children, and just wait and listen to see how the Lord speaks to your heart. And if you need prayer, man, come up here. We want to pray with you. Come to you now. God, I know there's people in this room, man, they're struggling financially. They're struggling at their job. They're struggling in school. And they're struggling to know if you're real. And they're in that place like Tracy and Melissa were. They're struggling to just have faith in you, the faith that you're big enough to conquer their problems. You're big enough to deal with what it is they're going through. And God, I lift them up to you tonight. I pray for those in here that are man, their marriage is holding on by a thread, like the devil's got a foothold in it and he won't let go. And I pray that you break the chains of that the devil has on them tonight, Father God. You pray you break the chains of oppression and bondage that sin has on people in this room and in this congregation, Father God, that there would be freedom in this place, Lord, that they would know that you are real, you are powerful, and that you do what you say you can do. Lord, I pray for this city, this community, this people. I pray for the brokenness, the hopelessness, the lost. God, I pray this church is a beacon of light. God, that we're not about us, we're about you, and we speak the truth. We do it in love, God, and we would see a city transformed, and the people in this room would be the embers that ignite the wildfire that consumes this place. And when people say, "What's going on out there?" we say, "Jesus." God, I thank you for everybody in this room. I thank you for people that serve faithfully in this church, not for their glory, not for their satisfaction, but just to simply serve you. God, I praise you for your faithfulness. I praise you that you are always there, Father God, that you are bigger than anything we're going through, God. God, I pray as a church, we just follow you with obedience. God, that we would just trust you. God, that we would seek you more than anything else, that you would be our number one priority, that we would put comfort to the side and say, "Jesus, I'm all in. I am following you to the gates of hell, and I'm going to do whatever you call me to do. Just give me success, Lord." God, and I pray that over the next 21, 30 days, Father God, that you burden our hearts, that you break our hearts. God, I know it's going to hurt, it's going to be painful, but the reward is so great. God, there is a dying world that needs to hear your good news. There are people going to hell today because nobody told them about your son. God, I pray that we would leave here with an urgency. God, we just surrender this church. We surrender this night to you. We give you this worship. God, we pray that your spirit move in this place. God, I pray for some in here, they would hear your voice clearer than they've ever heard it before. God, I'm excited for the future that you have for this church. I'm excited for those that you're going to bring to this place. I'm excited for the leaders you're going to raise up out of here. I'm excited for the churches you're going to plant out of here. I'm excited for the kids that are going to get saved and the youth that are going to get saved and just what you're going to do, God. And I just pray that you would lead us in it, that your Holy Spirit would be all up in this thing. God, and we just surrender this night to you and we just pray these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
King has entered in. Behold him now, the weight of glory. As he arrives in victory, we
the train of your robe fills this temple with adoration, we're pouring out our praises. As the train of your robe fills this temple,
oh,
and Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice hanging on every word. And Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more, hanging on every word. Sing that again, so Spirit of the Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we only want to hear your voice hanging on every word. Spirit of the living God, Spirit of the living God, we want to know you more and more. When you speak and when you move us, changes what we see and what we seek. And when you come in the room, when you do what only you can do, it changes us, changes what we see and what we see. Thank you.
Amen. You guys can be seated. Just a couple things as we close tonight. Number one, I don't want you to ever discredit the power of like a conversation and the impact it could have way down the road, and you may never see the fruit of that. Like I love seeing tonight like the people that shared the gospel with me and Tammy here so many years ago. And I didn't get saved right then. I was stubborn. But, like, just how that altered the course of my life forever. And so you never know how that's going to happen for you. And when you're just talking to somebody, loving on somebody. So just be encouraged in that. To just never say, well, it's just a conversation. They didn't accept it there. It was no good. That's never the case. You're planting those seeds. So I encourage you to do that. A couple just things as I was thinking, you know, this morning we had 7 new people. Yes, last Sunday there was 9 new people. I can't get to the back door fast enough. Invite them out to lunch, invite them to your house, whatever. Because the more people that talk to them, the more people engage with them, the more likely they're going to come back. Some people don't. We're not their cup of tea. That's fine. But just I encourage you just to talk to them. That means for some of you, you have to get here before 10 instead of 10:15. All right? I mean, I know. We start at 10, 10:05. Not spread the word. So, before you guys leave tonight, grab one of these 21 days of prayer and fasting. We'll probably have it up on the website probably about Wednesday too. And then if you don't start Wednesday, start whenever the Lord tells you you're ready to start. But I want you to be engaged in that. I want you to pray for that. I'm excited to see what God's going to do through that when you do that. I know some of the most powerful moments Tammy and I have had in dealing with the Lord has been through prayer and fasting. We have a little board in our bedroom of things that we put up there that we're going to pray and ask God for throughout the year. And a lot of times he's answered those through prayer and fasting. And we've been able to just mark things off the list. And it's just so cool to go back and see that altar, that thing that we wrote. And we see God's faithfulness on that board. So I just encourage you to do that as well. So love you guys. I thank you for giving up a Sunday night to come up here. We're going to hang out for a little bit. We do need your help slightly. We do need to pick up the chairs, and all this stuff has to go on the trailer, so if you can hang out and help with that, that'd be fantastic. But if you got kids here, I understand you need to bolt. I understand that. So, we love you guys. We thank you for coming, and we will see y'all next Sunday.